Welcome back to the Chatting with Holly podcast series. It's been 10 years since Downton Abbey, a period drama, hit our screens and became such a phenomenally well-known series and film. And it's with such great pleasure that today I'm speaking to the owner of Highclere Castle. Lord Carnarvon, the 8th Earl of Carnarvon, and his wife Lady Carnarvon own Highclere Castle, which is fondly known as the home to Downton Abbey. Lord Carnarvon, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Holly. Well, thank you for this talk.
It's such a pleasure to be chatting with you. And I really must ask, can you really believe when you were first approached about filming a period drama at Highclere Castle, did you ever imagine that 10 years later, you would be continuing to celebrate such a special series?
Well, no, that was an extraordinary situation and an enormous good fortune. And it wasn't the first time we've been involved with filming. As some time back, you might remember, we were quite involved with the Jeeves and Worcester shows as vision for Totley Towers. And a real long time back, not long after my grandfather died, and when my father and I were first opening up Highclere to the public, there was a CBS show of The Secret Garden, shot in our gardens. That was mostly for America. No, Downton, I mean, you know, we knew Julian Fellowes, an extraordinary writer, great creativity, and they looked at us a bit for Gosford Park, I think in disguise, because they wanted to stay in the London zone. And of course, the whole Carnival team came back and looked at us for the Downton Abbey idea, but they went away and spent months looking at many other houses, and it was a long time, then they finally made their minds up to come back to Highclere.
Amazing, and you're good friends, aren't you, with Julian Fellowes?
Absolutely, yeah, sure. Julian and Emma, great. They've been in many, many times to Highclere in a normal sort of capacity of a house party or a weekend, quite apart from when, of course, Julian, any early parts of filming would come and be with us a bit more, less as time went on, because you had to get writing the next script.
There must be so many stories. I mean, 10 years of on and off filming. And I've been really enjoying, I've been listening to your wife's Lady Carnarvon's Sunfest podcast series. And I can just imagine, I mean, every day you must have had new experiences and I'm sure different challenges, and every day must have been different while you had the film crew on set.
Yeah, well, it was full on really for 6 years, because we would be beginning really in the winter and in February quite often, and then going on off all the way into the beginning of July. And of course, when you're filming in February and you've got a lot of cables around and the windows open, the building gets pretty cold. but you just battle on. And I would get them in there early in the morning, you know, say sometimes around 6:30 or so. And then we'd have to, often more Fiona than me, would be shutting them down in the evening and making sure everything was turned off. So they were very long days and quite short nights.
That's I can imagine.
The glamour of filming is sometimes you sort of comes off a bit when you're on take 10 of something, because they've got such perfection. But it was perfection. It was done incredibly high standard. And then people are very patient. And of course, you know, the first assistant director has to be quite bossy as well as the director, get everyone in place and everything organized. And there's so much work goes into making these amazing productions. You don't really realize until you're fully sort of around the edge of it.
Immersed in it, which you were.
The castle being absolutely used, we were still very much working estate, and the farm and the rest of the property would still have to be looked after. So a lot of concurrent things. And because they didn't just use the castle, they used much the rest of the estate for different scenes with the cars, with the cottages on the farm.
Yes.
The whole thing about Highclere was it was just amazingly, gloriously sort of contemporary set for them.
I mean, I love reading about the history of Highclere. It's such a magnificent castle. I mean, I'd love, you know, if you could tell us a little bit more about the heritage and the castle.
Well, the castle really came about because of the dream of my ancestor, great-great-great-grandfather, the third Earl, who was a great traveller in Europe. He loved those towns in northern Italy, quite apart from Florence, towns like Lucca, Siena and the rest. And he just had this idea of extraordinary Italian, Gothic Italian mansion. And it happened to coincide with the fact that Charles Barry, very up-and-coming architect in the confident early period of Queen Victoria's reign, had also been, as a young man, an artist going around drawing all these buildings in Italy. Mm. So he could easily, therefore, between the two of them, come up with this incredible creation. But we've got to remember it was done at the same time as the Houses of Parliament. So can you, without all the computer technology we have today and all the powered machinery we have today, what a feat of engineering to do both projects.
It's amazing. And how many, it's what, you have 300 rooms.
So many small rooms, and of course there's all the rooms around the tower. Actually, we've been restoring high-level rooms recently, not so much because over the last year, but up until that point. So it's bit by bit, we're going to save the upper rooms, which have been water damaged over the years, and get them into some sort of occasional use with some power and light and redecoration and rest again. So there's always work to do.
I've had some experience, certainly on a much smaller scale, growing up in the old house. But yeah, you're absolutely right. There's always more to do, so I can imagine. And you know, what you two have been doing, I think it's fantastic. You've been restoring so much beyond just the castle.
As anyone with historic houses know, and if it's a wider parkland estate, you not only do you have to look after the main house, but also the rather extraordinary, often 18th century landscape buildings, and they are follies. And obviously in today's world, beautiful arches and temples don't provide any income at all, but they are part of the wonderful heritage of our landscape. So we do our best to fix them. And that's been an enormous burden on the whole operation for a long time. At least in the case of one, and you can see from our website, we have one called London Lodge, which is a triumphal arch put up by my ancestor, the first Earl Carnarvon, in 1793 or so, after he'd been made Lord Carnarvon by George III. And that has two little lodges over the years side by side. And so when we restore the triumphal arch, we also restore the lodges so you can sleep in one and live in the other. And that's they're quite popular. Landmark Trust type idea. We've also done to an extraordinary round tower building high up on the Wayfarers Walk, you know, over 800 feet above sea level. You can see for about sort of 50 miles to the north. You've also done that kind of thing for that building as well. So there's two places now where you can actually stay overnight.
It's really amazing. And I think all these historic houses, they're such an important part. They're really like the tapestry, aren't they, of the UK with their unique heritage and architecture and artifacts and history. And I, for you, it must be so lovely to see that you're able to restore this. And I assume, you know, continue the legacy of the family at Highclere.
You don't want to be the one of the family which is sort of on your watch where it all falls apart. So Fiona and I, you know, really have, especially Fiona, to be honest, have worked incredibly hard to keep everything going. And we have restored quite a few of these follies. I mean, our 18th century landscape in which the castle sits as a sort of jewel in the crown is fantastic here because it was it's a mixture of my ancestor Robert Herbert, the first Herbert member of the family here, and then later Capability Brown. And they both, in a way, had the same idea. Robert Herbert also had the same ideas of landscape on a grand scale rather than close up building. But he was quite a few years earlier than Robert Herbert later did. Henry Herbert became the first Earl of Carnarvon.
It's beautiful. And I know I was listening to one of Lady Carnarvon's podcasts, and she was saying how, you know, on the east it's very clever. You've got lighter trees, and on the west you've got darker trees. I think it is. It's beautiful to have that landscape. And then you've got all the wonderful gardens, and you've got the secret garden. And
my grandfather did develop a secret garden, well done him, in the 1960s. A guy called Jim Russell, who was a great landscape and garden designer, who lived at Castle Howard. But we've really worked on that since we've been involved. And also we've made this Wood of Goodwill Arboretum and a big wildflower meadow adjoining. And all those things together now make a fantastic whole afternoon for people to absorb themselves in living around the castle.
You've hosted, you've had so many interesting and, I know, wonderful celebrations and events at Highclere. And I can only imagine, because I know with all these houses, they really come to life, don't they, when they're just full of people celebrating. And I'm sure with the festive period coming up, there must be so many wonderful things you do. I mean, are there any traditions or memories that really stand out for you with Christmas at Highclere?
Well, as a small boy, because my grandfather was still very much here.
Yes.
It certainly wasn't open to visitors then. And he did always have quite a nice Christmas, and there would be, you know, the big Christmas trees and fires, and we'd come up on Christmas Day, Boxing Day, there'd be a Boxing Day game shoot and all those kind of ideas, and members of the family around. So I remember from that time. But of course, over the last 10 years, we've really developed December as being quite a special month, not just for funds for the cast, but also for various charities, like the Turners of the air ambulance here. And then we've had a thing called Sing for Peace the last 4 years, which is for MSF, Médecins Sans Frontières, and we have a big outdoor carol service. And that also isn't really a bag, because it's in the courtyard and far too many people, so we can't really do that this year, especially not singing. So then we've had some special receptions for other good causes that we want to support in the evenings. But all those things this year, of course, not really on. But we do have lots of small tours, you know, sort of three or so a day throughout much of December, where people can have a really nice time enjoying the building, all the Christmas tree, all the decorations that we've done throughout the building. Obviously, we love to welcome people, but it's just in smaller numbers than normal. Yeah.
And you do, as you say, you've got you've got the Tutankhamun exhibition as well. I mean, that's...
We did that some, that was actually just about finished, just before the whole Downton idea took off. And that was really because we wanted to make a tribute to those two incredible men, my great-grandfather, the fifth Earl, and Howard Carter, who'd worked so sort of stoically, diligently together in the desert and never gave up. And of course, great fifth Earl Sally died in the hour of his triumph, having discovered the tomb with Howard Carter. And actually, most of my great-grandfather's enormous collection of Egyptology, not to do with Tutankhamun, that's all in Cairo, but all his prior collection, which was vast and very, very special and incredibly valuable, my great-grandmother sold 96% of it to New York, the Metropolitan Museum. But the little bits left behind, we didn't discover till after my grandfather died, because he'd hidden them in cupboards. Anyway, they are. He was superstitious about the sudden death of his father at quite a young age, very upset about it. And amazingly, although he was a great raconteur, my grandfather, he never talked to me about this. We presented those, you know, represented all those objects after my pa died, because my father had done a original exhibition, but then we decided to take it on to the next stage. On top of that, we managed somehow to find the most amazing replicas of many of the incredible objects in the tomb. Some one or two are so good we get asked if they're the real thing. So we have a sort of tour of discovery with archive photography and my great-grandfather's camera and medicine chest and all that kind of thing, of the whole Tutankhamun experience. And it's very popular, you know, over half the people who visit Highclere have a nice time seeing that as well.
Your ancestors, I mean, they all have so many stories, don't they? I'm right, and your father was the Queen's racing manager. And
my great-grandfather was the first one to really be involved in breeding horses. He actually helped create the stud and even Newbury Racecourse, for that matter. But then my grandfather took that on. But my father really did do it in quite a clever way. And he was one of the, what you would call today, quite old-fashioned owner breeders, you know, even as many as 15, 16 mares, and sell the colts and then put the fillies in training, which is quite a high-risk operation, to say the least. And he really was quite successful at it. And the stud today is run in a somewhat a different, obviously quite commercial way, by my sister and brother-in-law. But I actually have a little tiny thoroughbred operation in the park with two or three brood mares and a bit of fun. And we actually had a filly that won and was placed three times this year, so we're quite excited by that. If you're there when they're born, you do the whole thing and you help look after them for a year, you get quite attached to them. They're practically like pets.
I can imagine. I know.
Hopefully next year she'll be stronger and go on to greater things. But of course, I really feel for everyone in that whole industry, because, you know, people, at least it's kept going, but it struggled, and the racecourses have had no audiences. And I don't know whether you saw any of them, but we had some fun during the lockdown back in the spring, because we started creating these virtual cocktail parties.
Yes.
And a bit of a flavour of Highclere and an indirect taste of flavour of our Highclere Castle gin, which we did rather invent here, but it's, you know, it's aimed a bit quite a lot at the United States as well as the UK. And people actually from all over the world logged on to see these things. And we're about to do another one at the end of next week.
It's absolutely brilliant. I love the story about your gin and how, you know, using herbs and things from the garden. And, you know, that brings me on to, I just wondered what's next, because I think, am I right in thinking you've got a vineyard now? So do you think wine might be another?
Wonderful Victorian wall gardens or early 18th wall gardens. I wonder what to do with them. And I have to fully admit that there were so many other things to do here, and it was so expensive, we didn't really get onto the wall garden. But we now have got a great new use for it, which is to have Chardonnay Pinot Noir grapes to create a Highclere sparkling rosé.
I think it's brilliant.
It's only been in a year, and we had a bit of hassle with those. Like, everyone around here doing vines had a bit of a crisis in May, because there was a frost of -4 Celsius all night long, because they're only a 1 in 20 year.
Yes.
Luckily, ours are very small, so a little bit of damage, but it was not the end of the world. But I know people who had proper, you know, fully running vineyards were not very happy. But anyway, let's hope that doesn't happen again. But we're hoping to take this on over a 2 or 3 year period and finally get enough grapes to really get into production.
I mean, I have to ask, because obviously so many of our clients just love the whole, they've loved the whole Downton Abbey experience in particular. And do you think there will be some more filming for Downton Abbey in the future?
Well, just as far as, if you remember, the movie was a great success. I mean, in a way, it was a glorious Christmas special, but it was great, good fun and did very well. I think it was probably one of the highest box offices of that particular time. They're very, very keen on doing another movie.
It would be amazing. It really would. I mean, obviously, you've seen it. But I mean, when you see how many people watch Downton, and right at the start, we were all glued to our TVs on a Sunday evening. And it's really lovely. And I love just seeing how so many people now know about Highclere. And between you and Lady Carnarvon, you've created so many different experiences, and you're constantly evolving it.
Obviously, we want to try and take Highclere on as in itself as its own brand, because this is a very, very special place. We hope we're also helping all of British heritage at the same time. And we know people who come here also go on to other historic houses, because they all tell us quite happily what their plans are.
Lord Carnarvon, it's been really, really lovely to chat with you. And thank you. I know you're busy because, as you said, you're getting ready and you're just about to open again for your Christmas tours, which sound wonderful. And as I said, our clients just absolutely have adored Downton and think it's fantastic what you've been doing with the castle and the state. So it's been absolutely wonderful. And we really look forward to doing more with you in the future. And that would be very exciting.
Well, thank you for this talk.
It's been such a pleasure chatting with you, and thank you for your time. And I hope you all have a lovely Christmas.